And so, I come to the Word and I often think, you know, as we're in worship, who am I to bring the Word? And actually, is this God's Word? I have a moment of like, did I get it right? Did I hear from God? And you know, we all need to be humble. This is all about, as we're singing, God's glory. No one is the person at the front. We're all in it with the body of Christ. And really, this Word today is about that. You all are part of this. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at discipleship, okay? And we've been thinking about three things. We've been thinking about be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what Jesus did. And I hope that that series has really helped you to find some fundamentals again. If you're interested in studying more, there's a book by a man called John Mark Comer. Go and pick it up. It's called Following the Way. Practicing the Way. Thank you. I haven't read it fully. I've just read the introduction. But it is supposed to be a very good book. Lots of Gen Zs, apparently, are finding it very helpful. So if you feel like going and studying some more, reading up, you can. We're going to go back to, so we've got down, it's a new thing, we're going back to what we were started in the summer, which was about the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts today. And we've looked at a number of those things, who the Holy Spirit is, how we're filled with the Spirit. We've looked at the gift of tongues. We've talked about prophecy. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit, actually, when we're looking at being like Jesus. Jeffrey did a very good morning trying to fit all of those in one morning, bless him. But it was good. And so today, this is an important subject. Spiritual gifts, what are they? And why are we turning to this? In one sense, if we look at Jesus, he was the man who was perfectly filled with the Holy Spirit, totally in tune with Father, Son, and Spirit. He was our example, our model, if you like, okay? And so when he spoke about the Holy Spirit, he said this. He said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me. I think we can go to the next one, actually. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Do you want that? Do you want to carry the presence of God, that when you're with people, you pour something of the presence of God out to them? I want that. I know I have a little bit, but I know there's more. And we want more, and we want to carry it to other people. And imagine a church, and imagine all the churches in Huntingdon, as we have friends here today as well. Imagine all the churches in Huntingdon flowing in the Spirit, that every person in the church felt like, I know my place, I know what God has given me, I know I can use it for his kingdom, and everyone feeling, and I keep saying this, like a round peg in a round hole, not like feeling like, oh, I'm trying to fit into this place, but I'm not sure, but feeling like God has gifted us and we're building the church, so that when you come on Sunday, you know what you're doing, you're serving God, but not just Sunday, when you go out into the street and when you live your life in the week, you're operating in the Holy Spirit and through those gifts, because God could not only change the churches, but the community. What was one of the things I saw in Brazil was there were tons of churches in Rio. In fact, I reckon everybody went to church, really. But actually, look at the brokenness. Because it was affecting change in people, it was, but it wasn't changing Rio de Janeiro. You know, and if the church had unity and everyone in it was working with God, we would see, I believe, communities change, not just churches, because that's what it's about. It's bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth, isn't it? And so why is this important? Because that's why I believe we're saying this. So some of you might be here, maybe you don't know fully about Jesus. This is part of discipleship and growth, but it's also that we're trying to build the kingdom of God to effect change. So let's look at some scriptures. Firstly, who can have a spiritual gift? I want to read to you Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 to 13. It says this, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Wow, there's lots in there. We're not going to look at all of this. The reason I'm looking at this is it talks about those five gifts, yes, which Stephen helped us to look at a little while ago, the fivefold gifts. By the way, you can go back on our website and look at some of these things we've done before. Look at the slides, listen to the talks, because it would be helpful. Did you know in that scripture where it said God gave apostles, teachers, in some ways it says God gives men. First of all, apostles, prophets, teachers. In other words, he's giving people as gifts to the church. Did you know? I want to encourage you this morning. Did you know you are a gift to this church? You are a gift to your family. You are a gift to the world around you. Every person in the world is of intrinsic value and loved by God. And we need to understand that. Our world has lost the plot in terms of sanctity of life. Every person is valuable to God and he loves them. And you know, we should be treasuring life. And when you're part of the church, you're given, you come here and God has gifted you to us. You know, I have been so blessed to be part of this fellowship. You know, I've been here now just over a year. Honeymoon period is well over, isn't it? But I still love being in this church, guys. You're a wonderful group of people, and you're hungry for God, aren't you? You want to see God doing stuff in our community. And so we want to know, we need to understand. And the greatest gift that was given was Jesus Christ, wasn't it? He was a gift. He came and he died on the cross so we could be forgiven, and we accept him and then we receive the Holy Spirit. If you don't know that this morning, come and speak to one of us. We want you to have that relationship with Jesus. But then once we're filled with the Spirit, God wants to use us. That's not the end point. That's just the very beginning, isn't it? It's the very beginning that God then starts to change you, renew your mind, fill your spirit, fill you with his Spirit, bring the fruit of the Spirit, make you all you're supposed to be. And so the gifts are for all of us, okay? You are a gift, and then you are gifted, people. Do you believe that? Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. Do you believe that? Yes! Okay, I hope so, because each one of you has something to give. Now, there are issues around spiritual gifts, and sometimes this topic is controversial. Some churches even go, well, the gifts were for when the disciples were here, they're not for now. Okay? Some people believe that, and we're not debating about this morning. Some people have different ideas about which gift lifts are important and how we look at them. But honestly, it's in the Bible, and we need to understand it. And why is this controversial? I've given you three kind of things that I think maybe stop people standing into their spiritual gifts, these barriers that get in the way. And so sometimes it's fear. Okay, what if I start using that gift? What if I don't like what God gives me? Okay, and many others, you could name other fears. Maybe some of you are sitting there thinking, well, I'm not sure about this. Okay, and fear is the thing that holds us back. God doesn't want us to live in fear. It says in the Bible, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and strength and a sound mind, isn't it? I might not have got that fully right. Also, sometimes, sadly, people have abused their spiritual gifts. Okay? They've used it to control, to manipulate, and in some very sad cases, for their own glory. Okay? This is not about us. It's about us using what God has given us for the common good. We're going to come to that in a minute. But spiritual gifts don't necessarily go with people's maturity. So spiritual maturity is about growing in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all of those things, becoming holy. But you receive a spiritual gift from God, and you can use it. And then sometimes people operate in those gifts. They haven't really matured in their character. And then you see a massive fall from grace. We see it, don't we? I'm sure we've all seen it. But actually, that then goes, well, I don't like these because people are using them wrongly. Just because other people have used them wrongly doesn't make the gifts wrong, does it? Yeah? The other thing is sometimes they're seen as wacky. You know, the spiritual gifts we talk about, like speaking in tongues, which we've looked at. I'm not going to go into that one today. Or sometimes prophecy. You think about some of the Old Testament prophets, they did wacky things, like one of them buried himself in a wall at one point, I believe, giving a picture of something that God was saying. Okay, and sometimes God gives us words, doesn't he? And we feel to, I know Jean brings pictures sometimes, and actually those pictures that she brings to us sometimes speak more powerfully than the words. And so sometimes we're thinking, oh, these are a bit wacky, but actually God uses those things, doesn't he? Okay, and so what I'm saying in that is don't be frightened of the gifts. And here is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good. So when you're given a gift, it's for all of us. It's to be shared. I mean, imagine Christmas. I've got this gift, but I'm going to hold it back. I think it's really nice, but I'm not sure if I give it to someone, they'll like it. You'd never see the joy of the person you're giving that gift to, would you? And really, we're all here to offer that gift to help one another, aren't we? And then also, when you look back at what we just read, there are three things that gifts can help us as a body become. We can help us to serve. Service is the biggest thing, isn't it? Jesus washed his disciples' feet as an example. So it helps us to serve, helps us to mature in our faith. It brings unity. If you go back and look at that scripture, you'll see those things mentioned in there after all of these gifts are given to bring us to these places. And so don't be frightened of them, because this is what they're supposed to bring and how they're supposed to be used. Amen? So, what is a spiritual gift? I have a definition from a guy called Peter Wagner. This is quite an old definition these days, and I don't know where Peter Wagner is, whether he's had a fall from grace or not. You look at church leaders, you just don't know. But anyway, I like this definition, whatever might be going on these days. It says, a spiritual gift is a special attribute given by the Holy Spirit to every member of the body of Christ, according to God's grace, for use within the context of the body. So, let's just break that down a little and have a think about what that means. It's a special attribute. So it's a gift. It's an attribute, is a quality, something that is inseparable from a person, okay, part of who they are. That makes us a unique individual. We do not all share the same gifts or use them in the same way. Gosh, life would be boring if we did, wouldn't it? Yeah? So we're all given something different now. Now, just pause a minute on this one. Gifts are not just natural talents, though, okay? They may link to a natural talent, but they're gifts that are empowered by the Holy Spirit, yes? So the Holy Spirit gives a power. For instance, I know I stand here sometimes and I speak, and I am a bit of a teacher, natural talent, so I get things ready, I prepare. I've been in a classroom for a few years, so I know how things go sometimes. But I'll stand here sometimes and words will come out of my mouth and I'll be like, that wasn't me. I didn't think of that. That must have been the Holy Spirit inspired me. Or I will be preparing and suddenly there'll be like this moment of the penny dropping moment, revelation. And that's God operating through the Holy Spirit in a spiritual gift, I think, of teaching in one sense. So there's the normal teaching, but then there's this supernatural sense that sometimes God does something. Does that make sense? And so, guys, God is going to give you supernatural ability in areas that will help to build up the church. It's not just naturally your talent, but it does sometimes knit with it, yes? That makes sense. Okay. So, it's given by the Holy Spirit. Of course it is, yes? It's given by the Holy Spirit, and he decides which gift we have, yeah? It's God's decision. We can ask him for any gift, yeah? You can go and ask, but God, like a father, knows what's best for us, doesn't he? So, say, just think of something you would feel really uncomfortable with. He's unlikely to give you that gift. He's going to give you something that fits your character, your personality. He's a gentleman, isn't he? God is a gentleman. He won't force anything upon you, okay? And then it's given to every member of the body of Christ. I'm not going to go into that too much. I've given you a bunch of references. If you want to go look at the scriptures, body of Christ is we're all part, all of that stuff. And it's given to everybody, every member. It's given according to God's grace. Okay, God gives the gifts and they're free. There's nothing you can do to earn them, okay? They're given freely. You remember that story in Acts where one of the guys goes up to, I think it's Paul, and says, can I pay you to have this same gift? And of course, You can't buy these gifts. They're not like special powers. It was a magician, I think, in the book of Acts who went and said, I want to do this because it'll help my business, really, in the end. But actually, these things are not given in that sense. They're given by God's grace for his purpose, for his glory. And they're given for context, using in the context of the body. They're given for the good of everybody, yeah? Which we've kind of covered, haven't we? So I have two examples that I'm going to share. I'm keeping an eye on time because kids will be back in. But good examples of this was I used to know a lady who's a dear friend of mine. We used to work together on prayer tents and all kinds of stuff. She's gone to be with Jesus now. But I remember being in a car with her and a couple of other people going to an event. On the return from the event. And we'd been ministering to someone in prayer at that event. And then as we were driving, she said something to me, pointed something out in my life. I'm not going to go into what it was, but she pointed something out and I'd never realized it. And suddenly I was like, oh, all these things make sense. And I need to get prayer ministry for this. And then I did. I went and got prayer ministry. God broke some things off my life and I suddenly felt a new freedom. Yeah. And so she was using the gift of what I would call discernment. Or a word of knowledge as well, I think, in that situation. And that was well used. It was in a safe place. I felt blessed by God. And that is a good example of how spiritual gifts can be used, yes? However, sometimes, to just give you a context as well, a bad example, I was sat in a room once of about 15 people, and there was a guy there who came in, and he'd obviously got the Holy Spirit, and he was speaking words of knowledge. But he went round the room, and imagine one of your worst secrets in life being pointed out to those 15 people in the room. Okay? Was that right? Certainly not. Okay? So, because God doesn't expose people in that ungodly way. God is a loving God. If there's something wrong in our life, you know, so if God gave me a word about Christine, let's say, and it was something personal, I wouldn't point that out in front of all of you. I'd go and say, look, could we have a chat somewhere? I feel God saying something to you. That's done in love, isn't it? Yeah? So you can have good examples of how people use the Spirit. And we're going to make mistakes, fair enough. If you do, be humble. Go, look, I made a mistake. But don't be fearful. Use the gifts God has given you. Amen? Okay, so we come to the last point, and this is going to help Stephen and Sarah in the next couple of weeks, actually. So if you want to read, Paul Benger has written a book called Empowered, which is about finding your spiritual gifts, moving into them, and I was having I've read the first chapter and had a look through it, but there's a lot of good stuff in there, actually, and if you want to, he's on their website, he's done a whole series on this same stuff, so you can go listen to that. But in his book, he categorizes the gifts into these three categories, okay? So the word gifts. So now we're saying, what are the gifts? These are the many gifts that God gives. So there's teaching, exhortation, prophecy, evangelism, apostleship, pastoring, ruling. And so these are the word gifts, the spoken gifts. They clarify the nature, character, and purposes of God, and they can help us to know who God is and how we relate to him. Now, these aren't perfect definitions, just for a point. They are a helpful way for us to do things, but nothing is rigid. So, for instance, prophecy probably could be in power and word gift, and to some degree even love gifts, yes? But sometimes it helps us to put these things into groups to try and understand them a bit better. So power gifts, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, workings of powers, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretations of tongues. So they might be the ones you're more worried about, the wacky gifts, if you like. But actually, they demonstrate God. You know, Paul said, didn't he? I didn't come just with words, but a demonstration of power and of the Holy Spirit, didn't he? Okay? So power gifts demonstrate that power, presence, and reality of God. When these gifts manifest, you know God is in the room, don't you? Amen? Love gifts. Government, administration, helps, mercy, giving, hospitality. Love gifts manifest the love of God tangibly in very practical ways. They are supportive in nature of both people and other gifts. In some ways, actually, they are the most important, aren't they? Because we're demonstrating God's love in action to other people. We shouldn't categorize one above another. We shouldn't. They are all equal. And God uses us all in our individual ways. But, you know, if you're interested in looking in Scripture and finding the lifts of the spiritual gifts, there are the references. Go and have a look and read for yourself. On Sunday mornings, you know, we give you a little kind of 20-minute thing. You could probably do like a couple of hours on this stuff, couldn't you? But ultimately, I'm hoping you go away to your life groups or go away yourself and go, okay, I need to have a pray about this and a think about it. Amen. So we're going to close up in a minute. Oh, first thing is how you use your gift, and I'm not going to say a lot about this. I've already said for the common good, yes, and I've already said that we need to use them to build service, maturity, all of those things. But ultimately, we use them in love, yeah? In 1 Corinthians, if you read about spiritual gifts, this scripture is often used at weddings, isn't it? But actually, its context is talking about spiritual gifts, if you didn't know. And really, I just printed out what it says in the Bible. Love is indispensable. Let's read it. And yet, I will show you the most excellent way. So he said, these are the gifts of the Spirit. These are the things you can use, but this is the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So when we use these gifts, we use them for love of God primarily and love of each other and the body of Christ and the world. Because actually as well, when we're equipping the body of Christ, and I said this earlier this week, I will never apologize for speaking salvation. Souls need saving. They need Jesus. And we can share that with our friends. We can speak it. I will always speak. Jesus has died for us. We need a relationship with him. We need people to know that they are loved, that they can come into a relationship with him. And so all of those things are worthless if not used in love. And when they're used in love, everyone seeking to build up the body of Christ, it's a reflection of heaven. Did you get that? So when we're all working within the body of Christ, empowered by the Spirit, just imagine Trevor's word this morning. Just imagine if we were all positioned in that place. Just imagine what the body of Christ could do. So here's some thoughts, and we're going to pray. Do you know your purpose? Okay, maybe this morning you don't know your purpose, and finding Jesus is the first place to begin, but then finding what he's gifted you to do and what he has for your life, what your calling is, all those things. And all of us are called. It's just not just those people who minister in the church. We're all called, even in our workplaces where we are. You have a gift, and you are a gift from God. Don't forget it this morning. I used to say this to students, if I could get nothing else through them in the school in the time I was there, I wanted them to know that they're precious, they're loved, and God has a purpose for their life. That's the same for you. He has a spiritual gift for you. Have you thought about what your spiritual gift is? What has God given you? Are you asking him for gifts, or are you seeking to know, discover? I suppose in one sense, discovering them is a better way of looking at it. And are you seeking to build up the church for the common good and in love? Let's just pray. I wonder this morning, if we could just have the band back, maybe Danny, you could just play something for a moment. I'm just going to give a moment for a response and then I'm going to hand back to Christine. But this morning, maybe you're thinking, I need to step out in my spiritual gift. And I don't want us to look at each other. But if you're feeling this morning that God has put on you, I've really got to understand again that I am a gift. So that's the first thing. You are loved, you are precious. Second thing is, I've really got to find my spiritual gift and move in it. I just want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to look, actually. I'm going to keep my eyes closed. But you're raising your hand to God and you're saying, God, I know I've got to respond this morning. I've got to say, I know you love me. And I've got to say, I need to be using my gift for your kingdom. And even if that's just a reaffirmation of that this morning, even if you know, maybe just raise your hand. And so let's pray. Father God, this morning, I thank you for your presence amongst us. I thank you for your spirit and the sense of your spirit in our worship this morning. And as we finish just now, I pray for every person here, firstly, that they will know that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you have given them hope and a good future, and you have prepared good works in advance for them to do. So may every person leave this place today knowing that truth. And then, Father, too, I pray that if you have released, not if you, the gifts you have released upon each person, that each person will seek after them and you will move them into the place where they are empowered by the Holy Spirit to grow and use that for your kingdom and for the glory of you. And so come fill us again, Holy Spirit, with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.